Welcome to the Industry Talks podcast. I'm your host, Roman Perry. This week's panel was a smash. I want to give a shout out to our guests, Alex Rosenberg of Wave Media, Alex Williams of Create Music Group, and the very talented producer, Mado. And also a special thanks to WeWork Vine for giving us the space to make the panel possible. On this episode, we have Antipop of the legendary Telepop Music. We dive into how Telepop got started back in the day, the inspiration and process for their track Breathe, and how his life has changed since becoming a father.
Industry Talks.
Do you want to maybe start off by introducing yourself and tell me kind of what you do and who you are a little bit?
Yeah, I'm Christoph. My DJ name is Antipop, and I have a band called Telepop Music. For a long time now, almost 18 years.
Yeah.
And I'm now in LA doing some DJ gigs.
Yeah.
I play The Exchange, and I play Back Bay Bistro with The Ambassadors.
Yeah.
Modern Ambassadors. And I'm going to play tomorrow night San Diego, and Saturday Portland, and Sunday Las Vegas.
They've been going good?
Yeah, for until now, all
yeah,
good.
That's great. So you said you've been in with Telepop for 18 years. Can you maybe go over like how you guys got started?
At this time, we were having some pop bands. And,
okay.
And it was the same period as like the sampler appears. So I proposed my friends, say, you want to try like to do some new music with this kind of way of doing, different way of doing music. So we try one song and finally we get signed and make an album, and we were lucky enough to add a hit single with the song Breathe.
Yeah.
And so yeah, we're definitely lucky to be able to go on with this band, and we're going to have like a new album in a few months.
That's going to be great. I'm looking forward to that.
I hope so.
Do you remember what the gear you used back in the day?
There was like the first tracks. I remember there was like some Atari computer.
Okay.
Yeah. With like the first Cubase version, like Cubase 1 or something.
Yeah.
And the sampler, the memory capacity was like 9.5 mega.
Yeah.
Which is...
It's tiny.
Nothing.
Yeah, it's one song now.
No, not even. It's yeah. Like it's one sample.
Yeah.
So you had to make 50 samples with this very, very low memory.
Yeah.
But it was, I guess, a good period because like this sampler producing way was like a way to mix, to clash style and to mix some R&B with like some new wave. And
yeah,
it's this period, like beginning of the 90s, where they made jungle music. It's because of the sampler, you know, they speeded up some R&B drums and so it was, yeah, very exciting period.
Yeah.
Still, it's now still exciting because now you can produce an album in your room and you can release this album from your room, and well, you still have to tour, but
yeah, that I think this touring hasn't changed that much. What have you noticed that is different about the industry compared to when Breathe came out compared to now?
I guess now you have to do everything, kind of,
right?
Or you can do everything,
yeah.
No, of course, you can work with peoples, and back in the days, it was more, there was more money involved. Mm-hmm. And there was, it was more a slow process. I mean, when a record label was working on an album, it could last 2 years.
Right.
Now you have to release singles, be quick, get the right Spotify playlist. But in a way, it's positive, you know, it's means that the way to sell music those days, it's evolving all the time. And, you know, there was at a certain period, it was there was a lot of blogs, and blogs were giving the you know, the, well, those blogs were creating the buzz.
Yeah.
Now it's not blogs anymore. It's Spotify playlists mostly.
Yeah.
So it's good. It's changing.
Yeah. Like, what got you into music? Like, what, when was the first time that you decided you wanted to do what you're doing?
I don't know exactly. I studied music when I was really a young kid.
Okay.
But it was very hard. It was violin.
Yeah.
So it was really an old school method. So it kind of disgusted me of music for a while. And then my brother started to play guitar. And it was my younger brother. So I think I felt jealous. So I started to play bass myself.
And, yeah.
And we played a bit together. And then it was a lot of luck. You know, I did some engineering studies. So I don't know, when we start Telepop Music, I was having some bands, but just to have fun mostly. And then we get signed, and
yeah.
So it was not really a decision. So, oh, I'm going to make music for sure.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it was cool, you know, going out, get girls and drugs. And so everybody wants to do that at one point.
Yeah. Is your main instrument, like, do you play, are you still a bass player or?
No, more like a guitar player.
Okay. I
finally learn a bit of guitar. And in Telepop Music, we're not playing so much guitar.
Yeah.
So I'm playing some synthesizer, but like one, two fingers.
Yeah. Leads kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Cool.
And I'm trying to create moods, but, I'm not a technical geek guy.
Right. You're more of a, would you consider yourself more of a songwriter?
Yeah. Oh, I'm creating moods.
Okay.
So I'm trying to put the right elements, the right vocal, the.
Yeah.
And that's already a big job.
Yeah, it is. It's a lot. So you work with vocalists a lot, and like in particular, I mean, I guess we can use Breathe as an example. How does the lyric writing process go? Does the vocalist come with their lyrics, or is that something you'd help write?
Most of the time, writing the lyrics when they're in the studio.
In the studio.
Sometimes Breeze, like the singer, was reacting to our really small studio, and at this time we were all smoking cigarettes.
Yeah.
And she couldn't breathe. So she was writing lyrics and feeling the French pressure.
Yeah.
There's another song on this first album called Love Can Damage Your Health.
Okay.
And she took it from the pack of cigarettes, like, smoke can damage your health. And she wrote, love can damage your health.
Yeah.
So lyrics can come easily this way.
And
you think it's, you know, it's a very complicated process. But spontaneity is very important in music.
Yeah, and
if you're spending too much hours and it's not working, means that maybe you have to make a new song.
Right, make a change.
Yeah.
Do you? Where do you find your inspiration for the moods that you create? Like, what puts you in the mindset, or is it something that more you just kind of let flow through you?
It's a dreaming process, I guess.
Okay.
Smoking a bit. No, it's difficult to explain. It's to find like some moments of grace,
right,
between the. Most of the time, to create grace in music, it's easier with with some vocal, when the interaction of music with the vocal, with the harmonization. That's very exciting.
Definitely.
Instrumental music, it's different. It's not about grace, because there's not human, especially with like electronic music. It's you create like a killer beat or killer bass line, but it's not like grace for dance music. It's so I do my best.
Yeah, you do a pretty good job.
Thank you.
Yeah. Throughout your career, what do you think was the hardest lesson you had to learn?
Getting older.
Yeah.
Yeah, you cannot escape.
Yeah.
It's the question is like, when you're getting older, are you made for this job, or is it like just a fun job when you're younger and
right.
Because you're not expecting the same life and the same things. So yeah, it's making music. It's not like you don't know what's gonna be the next day. Is this song gonna be good, or it's a process of questioning all the time. What's your expectation? And it's not an easy job.
No, no, I don't think so.
It looks like
when
those guys are making music, they have fun, they're taking drugs, but it's a job.
Definitely. What do you think is your favorite tool, or what is maybe not favorite tool, but what do you think is an indispensable tool for your job?
A tool, you mean?
Yeah.
Tool. I guess my ears.
Your ears.
Yeah, it's the most useful when you're making music.
Yeah.
And I like to, I think the pulsation is very, like to hear a beat, like a kick. Or it's the heart beating. So tool. What is a tool for you?
I don't know, like a tool for me could be, I think Ableton is probably one of the most important tools
more
I have.
Like this.
I also agree with ears as well. I think that's like, I've said that before as well. So I see what you're saying there.
I think I should get a better tool for working quick.
Okay.
That's when you're making a remix, you have to work quick, and sometimes it's good because it's fresh, because you're not spending too much time. So yeah, I have to get something that is helping me to be quicker.
Yeah.
Cubase is more old school on the process.
I have some friends that use Cubase still. They're more on the composing side. Like they compose for, like video games and things like that. Are you in Cubase?
Cubase, right. Okay. It's very accurate. So.
Yeah.
But it's less fun than Ableton.
I don't know if you would want to get into this, but when you guys first started, you had three members. You, Steven, Two Square, and then...
Stefan.
Oh, Stefan, sorry.
Stefan
me.
Fabrice.
And then Fabrice, okay. And Two Square is still in the project with you, right?
Yeah, yeah.
What happened to Fabrice?
Well, he decided to do some business. He made a record label and a big... musical library.
Okay.
So they're working with the biggest agency in Europe. They have on the record label, they have Woodkid, the shoes.
Okay. Yeah, I like him a lot.
So,
he's really cool.
So he's still listening a lot of music, but he's more on the other side. He's choosing the music for the library.
Mm-hmm.
And but I guess at the end, it was too much pressure to write music. He was very involved in the writing of the second album, and after so much work, he was a bit disappointed. And
okay.
It was the time we went to New York. He did some few music score for some movie, but he felt the pressure, because in America, when you're writing the music for movies, you have to be very quick. And it was more in the French mood, taking your time. And
yeah.
So at the end, he was, let's say, okay, it's time to, for me. And he was doing music since a long time, and, before me and Stefan. So I guess it was time for him to
make a change.
Yeah, but we were still good friends. And,
yeah.
And so it's no problem. So it's different process. Now we are two people.
Yeah.
So we have to agree.
Yeah.
On everything.
Yeah, you don't have the... It's a lot harder to vote with two people,
no,
I think.
Third party, no.
Yeah.
But it's... After 18 years, we kind of agree on most of the things.
Yeah. So,
and he's living in another city in France, so we are sending files.
Yeah. You know?
We are not sending nudes, but sending files.
It's good. I feel like that might give you a little bit of, like, if you guys were still living in the same house, it might be a little rough.
Yeah, yeah. You know? It's good to have...
The distance.
Yeah.
It keeps it professional. You know? You're not going to walk in on him taking a shower or something?
We hadn't sex together, so there's no sex, you know.
Okay.
No girlfriends, no boyfriends.
Yeah. I feel like being in a group or a band together is already enough, like being in a relationship.
We all did it before.
Yeah.
We know what it's not good to do.
Yeah. So how does the industry differ in France compared to the US? Or is it pretty similar?
It's the French like to pretend it's not a business.
Okay.
You know, you're my friend, it's not directly about money or about making money. It's okay. We are making arts, but we're not making arts. It's not that, but I think the French are not assuming to make business. Of course, we are all here to, you know, to pay the rent and
like it's kind of a given, almost.
Yeah. So if the money is coming, it's good. And it, for example, when you're successful, it's not good to say to people that you're successful. You have to stay humble so it's very hypocrite in a way.
Yeah.
Of course, when you're successful, you have to be happy and humble as well. But I don't know. I guess it's the same here. Like, no, in France, the business, there's some business, but I think it's the same in the US in some ways. There's less money, so it means that you have to sell more music, you have to be more productive, you have to tour more. So it's of course true in France, and there was a lot of, for example, in France, a lot of festival with sponsors from the state,
mm-hmm.
And now there's less sponsors. So when you're a very famous band, you are booked in some big festival. That's all good, but when you're not super known, it's very difficult. So I guess the kids, they are making music knowing that it's to have fun. And if they succeed at one point, they know that maybe it's not going to last for years.
Right.
That it can be very quick, and then you vanish. Or because now you have to be present all the time, releasing singles. It's difficult to last 10, 20 years. It's like that.
What's the thing that you're the most proud of?
My daughter.
Your daughter?
Mm. No, and proud. No, I'm proud in some ways to have been able to make music for 20 years.
And, yeah.
And make a living. So yes, I think at the time when we were nominated to the Grammy Awards, it was, you know, you're French and you're nominated to the biggest Academy for Music in the US and in the world. So it's a good feeling for sure.
Yeah.
And I think, but most of it, it's like that at the end you have a song that have touched millions of people in all over the world, like with different culture.
Yeah.
Some of them have made kids listening to this music.
Yeah.
We had stories of even people like about to commit suicide, and it's an incredible story. Or a guy is on the bridge and the girl is approaching with her car, and Brice is playing in the car. And she stopped by the guy, seeing maybe this guy is not... And she opened the window and she succeeded to tell the man, while the song was playing, to tell the man not to jump.
Yeah.
And saying, listen to the lyrics, you know. And so that's good, all those little stories because of this song.
Yeah, that's got to be a pretty good feeling.
Yeah, but then it's I'm not proud of me. I'm proud of this song to be. And other songs, and it's not my favorite song, but I have to admit that it creates something on some people's.
What is your favorite song?
I like on the second album, but it's an instrumental.
Okay, that's okay.
It's called Swamp.
Okay.
I like the last one. Yeah. We released like Sound.
Uh-huh.
It's with the singer of Ride, you know, this English band.
Yeah.
It's really a cool song, very moody, very trip hop in a way.
What's your favorite song by another artist? And maybe this could even be who are you most influenced by? Like any of the artists that came before you?
Well, there's so many. I don't know. Be a different period of my life, you know, from the Beatles, ABBA, then later on INXS, then all those alternative bands like Pixies,
yeah,
Pavement, was a big fan of Pavement, and then all the same period, like all the Acid House, Voodoo Child, Voodoo Ray, sorry. It's one of my favorite Acid House track.
Mm-hmm.
It's always a mix of different music. Like,
yeah.
I used to like a lot the Strokes, but I'm mostly listening Deep House because that's the music I'm DJing. Like on recent tracks, I like Riboledo. Try to stay open.
Yeah. Try to listen to everything.
Yeah.
So you did an interview a couple years ago, and you talked about the popularity of Breathe being kind of tied to what happened on 9/11 and how the world kind of changed then.
Yeah, because the strange thing, it was a song released first in Europe.
Uh-huh.
So I guess it was something like June 2001.
Yeah.
And then in the US, it was released after 9/11. And I felt, because of the lyrics, Just Breathe, Just Believe, that it was like just a simple and positive song to believe after something that was like shocking for a lot of people. And also because, like, for example, one guy who was supposed to be in the Twin Towers that day and didn't woke up, actually. So all his friends died in the Twin Towers, but not him. So it was, and he identified this period with this song.
Yeah.
And later on, like, I don't know, five years after, he said, oh, I'm getting married. Do you want to play at my wedding? Because I need this song, you know, it means so much for me. And so I guess it helped a lot of people to, in some ways, to heal.
Yeah,
because it's simple song and a lot of yoga classes are using Breathe to chill and
definitely. Do you want to talk about your process for the new album a little bit? Like, what can we talk about for your new album?
Well, that's the longest process ever.
Yeah,
kind of 10 years.
Yeah,
but that's what happened when you're making kids, when you're changing cities. So it's like, it's like wine a bit. It's we have some of the songs were made like 10 years ago in New York, or we released some of them like for some EPs or singles, and then it's the new album is really a mix of those old songs and new ones we did more recently, and there's a bunch of them are with the original singers, like Angela, Mo, and there's some new singers like Swedish girl called Joanna Wedding. And Young and Sick was like a singer from Netherlands, but he's based in LA.
Mm-hmm.
And it's more up tempo. It's important to not to redo the same thing. Especially it's an album without Fabrice, so it's
right.
There's less string orchestration.
Uh-huh.
It's more moroder kind of production.
Yeah,
with a lot of 16 bass, like TB-303. But it's soon, still 3 weeks of work.
I mean, it's still, even after it's out, it's probably not gonna, the work's not going to stop.
I was listening to some new mastering just before meeting you.
Is it sounding good?
Yeah, still some modification.
Yeah, some tweaks that need to be done.
I still cannot, it's impossible to set up a planning in music. You never know when it's going to be done.
Right.
So, you know, when I'm telling it's going to be 3 weeks, maybe it's going to be 3 months.
Yeah, hopefully not. It takes as long as it's going to take, you know? Yeah.
At one point, you have to, enough is enough.
Yeah. You got to know when it's done.
Yeah.
I guess like in the same way that you talked about, you know, maybe it's time to try a new song. You know, it's, you got to know also too, like when songs are finished.
Actually, we're starting to think about the next album.
Already. If there's any piece of advice that you could give yourself, maybe when you first started Telepop Music, what would you say?
Piece of advice I will not use in those years.
Yeah.
Probably I spent a lot of time partying.
Yeah.
Dreaming, and I could have been more concentrated and produced more music.
Okay.
I realized that when I became a dad.
Right.
Because it's concentrating you on what you have to realize, and because you have more pressure, you're not alone. So yeah, that's this vice of enjoying the life, but a lot of people are happy like that. It's
right.
I could have been more concentrated, and because I was also lucky to have the two others who were more serious in some ways. So
right, to kind of balance you out. Maybe.
Yeah.
Did what's your daughter's name?
Isis.
Isis. Was she born in between you starting this new album and you finishing it?
Yeah.
Okay. So
something in the middle.
Yeah. Was she a factor in you getting it done then?
She's a factor because at some point, like when you becoming a dad, you're not concentrated to really produce music for a while. So
right,
in some ways it helped me to get more focus, but at the beginning it was more like,
yeah, there's a lot of other stuff you're going to be worried about, I'm sure.
But it's definitely a positive.
Yeah. Are any of your, any of the songs that are coming out, in any, are they inspired by her at all?
We are not writing the lyrics, so.
Okay.
So not really.
Not even some of the moods?
And we don't like so much, you know, all the lyrics are often about love story ending, or there's a lot of melancholia, so.
Yeah.
Not so often happy feelings. Or, yeah. So it's not really about the kids.
Yeah.
Trying to figure out. There's a song about that Young and Sick wrote, was about the terrorist attack in Paris,
mm-hmm.
at the Bataclan.
Yeah.
Because everybody was really, it's like 9/11. So when I sent the instrumental, it was like a few days after. So Young and Sick react to this event is quite natural. But I don't feel comfortable with music when it comes about politics or this kind of, you know, this song is about blah, blah, blah.
Like protest stuff like that. More universal human kind of things, like you said, heartbreak and.
Our music is not Rage Against the Machine. It's not.
Right.
It's not full of hate and despair.
Yeah.
So I guess the singer are more in this melancholia about, I'm still dreaming about the charming prince and.
Yeah.
He will never come.
Yeah, I think that's, So you're doing a lot more DJ sets now. Are you planning on going back into doing a live show?
Yeah, well, but we will wait for the album to be released, mm-hmm. because it's always more complicated to set up a live tour. There's more people traveling, but strangely, we never played live the full band in the US. Every time it was like some DJ set with singers. So
yeah. It was kind of stripped down.
Yeah, and at the end, it's a little bit frustrating. I guess some people are coming to see Telepop when they're coming to my DJ set, and it's not exactly the same. I'm playing some Telepop music remixes and other music, but it's not like a live performance. And
right.
So yes, I think when the album will be released, we will tour the big cities and we'll go where people will invite us.
Yeah. My introduction to music was DJing. And I actually remember playing the Bladda and Anesha remix of Ghost Girl.
Oh, which remix of Ghost Girl?
Oh, the Bladda and Anesha remix.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
I love those pushy, dudes. Yeah, because I love that like kind of hard electro kind of stuff.
They're from Sicilia.
Yeah. But I always feel like, I mean, you talk about mood so much. And I do feel like DJing is almost like mood. You're creating moods.
That was my mission when we create Telepop music.
Really?
Because we were supposed to do something we were not used to do in our own band. So
yeah.
So I decided I would become with this project a DJ.
Yeah.
That's why we didn't play so much guitar because it was too easy, too comfortable.
Right.
But and no, it's going with electronic music DJing because you're mixing different style, clashing style together, and you see if it's working together and it's giving ideas.
Yeah.
And people are dancing since humans are on Earth. So, and it's also a different way of hearing music when you're DJing. You have to feel the music in your ear.
Right.
In your butt.
Yeah.
So it's because when you're producing music, it's mainly mental.
It's in your head.
Your focus and usually you're sitting.
It's not the same.
The same process.
Yeah. Do you ever stand up when you produce music?
I'm too old for that.
Okay.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
I should get a rocking chair, you know, with the laptop moving.
Yeah.
We should make a country album in a rocking chair.
I think that's the perfect environment to make it in.
A little laptop.
Guitar. Then you can pick up a guitar.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah, you can play guitar in some rocking chair.
Do you think you'll play guitar on the live show? Or do you think you're going to stay on the synth?
No, yeah. I think mostly on the synth. We'll try to do something like more like with a lot of visuals.
Right.
Because we are not like specially performers. So. And yeah, the two of us and probably two singers. Mm-hmm. But we were thinking we did some few gigs with a drummer. Mm-hmm. It's good it's on some points, but it's more complicated. And especially when you have to tour in some foreign country, it's like a lot of people traveling. It's more complicated for the sound check. So
yeah, drums are tough.
And then in the US, and festival, it's good to have a show those days, or you have to make solos.
Yeah.
Oh, you have to be beautiful. So yes, we have to make a show.
You have to make a show. Are there any books that you've read that have been a major influence on you?
On Telepop, on the first album, it was a lot of this book from Aldous Huxley, A Brave New World.
Yeah.
That was really, for me personally, a big influence. And, and for example, the Breeze video is all about the the idea was this unreal world with perfect people,
right?
Trying to get rid of not perfect people, and the video is about that, and that's what's happening in this book. It's they control the rich and beautiful people with this drug
Soma, yeah,
exactly, and. And there's the wild humans living out of this perfect world that trying to survive as free.
Yeah.
And it's a beautiful book.
Do you think we're headed to a world like that?
So, yeah, no, we're already living in this world, I think.
Yeah, a little bit.
And except it's becoming, there's, you know, all territories on Earth are controlled. You cannot go really in the wild and disappear.
Yeah.
Still a bit, but...
You'll still probably have to pay taxes.
No, you still can escape Texas. But
yeah.
You can live in a trailer, but...
Yeah.
Not sure it's the perfect life.
Yeah.
Either. Yeah, but yeah, it's freaky that some powerful people can know where exactly you are at this instant. Who are you going to vote in?
It's like they already know.
And who is your next girlfriend?
Yeah.
Maybe you want to know.
I don't know. I don't know if I do. I don't think I do.
Who's that going to be?
Kyle wants to know, I think.
Kyle has a plan. He planned a new girlfriend for you soon.
No, I hope not.
You hope not?
Mm-hmm. No, I got a good one.
Yeah, he's got it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Thank you.
If there's anybody that you could work with in the industry, or maybe even a filmmaker or something like that, who would you work with?
Music. I would love Santigold to sing on one of our tracks.
Yeah.
About movie, the guy who he has a Chinese name, a director who did like Brokeback Mountain, and he did like one of the Hulk.
Ang Lee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love his filming.
Yeah. Which one, what's your favorite movie that he did?
But those two, even Hulk is
yeah.
Yeah, there's amazing, when he's jumping in the desert. It's,
yeah.
It's beautiful.
It was nuts. Yeah. I feel like those movies, there's such a difference. I don't know if you're into the superhero movies, but the older superhero movies are so different. Because there was no formula yet, and there was no right or wrong thing to do, so everybody was exploring a lot more. I felt like in the pre Disney Marvel days.
But it's strange in America because of the superhero movie.
Yeah.
There's always the good and the villain.
Yeah,
and so I think in America you're growing up with this idea of the good and the villain. So the villain has a very important place in the American culture, I think.
Yeah.
And that's probably why you have Trump.
Yeah, yeah.
And of course, after you want that villain to fail, because in it's Hollywood, so it has to have a good end.
Yeah.
So I hope Trump will be impeached.
Yeah, definitely. So we get a good ending.
You know, the villain in France is boo, and nobody wants to hear about him anymore.
Right.
In America, there's more like a fascination.
Interesting.
Like, you know, this guy who sold like some medicine for AIDS.
Martin Shkreli.
Yeah, everybody is fascinated
yeah.
about this guy, and is the incarnation of the villain in some ways.
Yeah.
And he's playing this role. I think he's good at it. And people are, you know.
Getting fed into it, like feeding into it.
They kind of, in some ways, they kind of like him as a supervillain.
Yeah. Like they love to hate him.
Yeah.
Yeah. What, if you knew that you only had 5 years left to live,
mm-hmm.
what would you do differently?
I would maybe accelerate the process I'm into. It's like to have more healthy life. So, no, yeah, it's mostly to be in a good... balance between my mind and my body.
Yeah.
And when you're getting older, the body is becoming much more important.
Yeah.
Because that's the thing that's going away for sure. So yeah, it's a healing process.
Yeah.
Mostly.
What are you most excited about?
New album.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what is very important those days is like to produce a lot of music. So to make as much as possible collaboration and remixes, yeah, it's too important to be active.
Do you like making a remix more than you like making an original song?
Making remix, it's refreshing because it's quick. You have to be 4 days has to be done.
Yeah.
And making songs, it should not be the process we had for this album. It's crazy. It's for the next one we will do this some sessions together in the same room to finalize stuff very quickly. Like, okay, that's good. That's the final sound for this. And yeah, we will make a much more efficient process for sure.
Yeah.
It's this album, the album to come is like really some snapshots of the 10 last year. It's a long travel.
Yeah. Do you have a name for it or can you not say yet?
Not sure. Yes.
Not sure yet. Okay. So maybe in a couple of weeks, maybe in a couple of months, and then we're going to get it, I think. Christoph, thanks so much for coming on.
Thanks for good. This little conversation.
Yeah, it was good to dive into some stuff with you, definitely. I haven't had the chance to get to know you yet, so this was a good chance to get to know you.
I hope I didn't annoy some Trump supporters.
No, we're all right. So that's our show. If you like what you heard and want to support what we're doing, the best way to do that is leave us a 5-star rating on iTunes, or even better, tell a friend about us. If you want to find out when and where our next panel is taking place and keep up with all the Industry Talks news, check out our website, which is industrytalks.net. Thanks for listening.